Chinese imports get a bit more expensive after the U.S. imposes higher tariffs on $200 billion worth of goods.
And I'm different than a lot of people. I happen to think that tariffs for our country are very powerful.
And Uber prices its shares today at $45.
That's toward the lower end of the range it was initially going for.
Plus, France proposes new regulations to audit social media. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we get into our main story this morning, a new proposal in France to regulate social media. Here's what you missed. As of midnight, tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese imports officially rose from 10% to 25%. Beijing has said it will retaliate against the actions, saying that it cannot but take necessary countermeasures. Negotiations are set to continue in Washington today, but our trade reporter, Yoko Kabuta, in Beijing, says that even if a deal is reached, a broader decoupling of the world's two biggest economies will probably continue.
So we're seeing signs of decoupling in multiple fronts. It's not quite a Cold War type of tightly controlled interactions. I don't think we're expecting to see any of that, but still there is a new emerging landscape that we're witnessing. So one example is in manufacturing. We've seen some cases where companies are shifting production out of China to other countries or regions to avoid tariffs. Those destinations would include places like Mexico, Cambodia, Taiwan, and also India. I think we're starting to see a new landscape, and the trade deal and whatever details that's included in it matter, because that could determine how much further this new reality of decoupling goes.
And Uber priced its shares ahead of its market debut today. At $45 per share, the company will command a market value of $82 billion. That makes it the biggest U.S. IPO since Alibaba went public in 2014. While the valuation is less than the one Uber had initially been targeting, our IPO reporter Corey Driebusch says that was deliberate.
There was a concerted effort to price this a little bit more conservatively than necessary. And I believe a lot of that had to do with being cognizant of what happened with Lyft shares. So there was an effort by both Uber executives and the bankers involved in the deal to give more shares to institutional investors who typically hold on to stock for a longer term and are quote-unquote more loyal investors in a company. And also we hear that there was demand to price it higher. However, this just seemed like a more conservative approach.
Even conservatively, big funds like SoftBank are set to reap billions of dollars in Uber's debut. Ex-CEO Travis Kalanick will be made a billionaire several times over, on paper at least. But as for Uber's many thousands of drivers, well, some are angry that they've been left out. Here's one, Michelle Dotton, from a protest earlier this week in Long Island City.
You're doing an IPO. These drivers helped you. Why aren't you offering drivers a share of the IPO? They deserve it.
Shares in Uber are set to start trading on the New York Stock Exchange under the ticker symbol Uber. Now, our main story on a busy day for sure. This one has to do with policing the content that we find on social media. As of this morning, the French government is planning to give regulators sweeping power to audit and fine large social media companies like Facebook. This is if they don't adequately remove hateful content. From Paris, Sam Schechner broke the story. So Sam, walk me through what is being proposed by the French government.
Well, The French government want to implement what they call a duty of care, a kind of broad obligation for social networks, very large social networks, to be more responsible for hate speech that is published on their platforms. And then they want to be able to go in and audit them to make sure that they're handling that responsibility appropriately. It's a somewhat different approach than we've seen in some other countries where, you know, basically companies are responsible for instances, any instance, and they can be held accountable for letting something through the filter. The French kind of liken it to banking regulation, where the banks are required to have really robust systems for detecting and stamping out fraud, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you know, they are responsible for every bit of fraud that might happen to slip through the cracks. And if they don't have a good system, the government can come in and, you know, fine them heavily for that.
How did this proposal come about?
The proposal stemmed from months of consultations between French officials, some of them regulators at various independent authorities here in France, and Facebook. It was something that Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg and French President Emmanuel Macron agreed to last November. And the French officials visited a number of Facebook offices to look at how exactly they handle these questions. And that's what led to a report proposing certain ways to deal with it that's coming out today. And the French government's actually going to implement some of these in law, or at least they're going to propose a law that has to go through Parliament here.
We've seen a lot of regulatory proposals from New Zealand to Singapore. Where does this fall on the spectrum of what various countries are considering when it comes to trying to regulate speech on social media sites?
Well, I think they are trying to do something a little bit differently. Instead of being very prescriptive, like, you know, some of these rules have very prescriptive requirements for everything a social media company has to do once something is flagged to them. This isn't really like that. It's more of a broader, like, you have to be good at this, and we're going to be on your back to make sure you are, without being particularly specific about the details. And, you know, the idea there is that there's going to be some back and forth, and that the companies themselves are going to be responsible for you know, doing this the best way they can. In some sense, it's almost like saying, continue doing what you're doing on a voluntary basis, but we're going to make it not voluntary and get better at it.
Is this something that could serve as a model for the U.S., or is it very grounded in sort of European ideas of tech regulation, for instance?
It definitely does take a European vision of regulating what gets said online. I mean, you know, it's certainly the kind of thing that could provide a model maybe for some other countries. And it's not totally different from what the UK proposed in its online harms proposal last month. In the US, any kind of restriction on what people say is something that is much harder to regulate. There's a really strong tradition of free expression and free speech in the US. It's a fundamental right in Europe as well, but one that gets balanced sometimes with others. I would think that, you know, the political momentum in the US seems to be more around privacy regulation and possibly things around competition. Obviously, there's some more black and white cases where things are already removed in the US. You know, companies have a lot of systems for removing child pornography and now also terrorist postings and propaganda. An ISIS flag is not going to stay up on Facebook for very long. But when you get into things like hate speech, it can be a much more gray area between what is something that needs to be removed and something that's just an objectionable opinion that you disagree with.
After we spoke with Sam, Facebook gave the Wall Street Journal a statement. The company's vice president of policy solutions, Richard Allen, says that it's about the platforms doing the work effectively, but being very clearly accountable to a regulator. That is very much in line with the kind of models we think will be effective in the future. You can find our full coverage of France's new regulations at WSJ.com. On to markets. In a bit of a head scratcher, Chinese markets actually rose after those higher tariffs went into effect today. To make sense of it all, here's our markets reporter, Soumya Vashampayan from Hong Kong.
Markets in China actually rallied on Friday, so major indexes like the Shanghai Composite were up 3% or more. Analysts chalked up the moves to fatigue about the trade news, pointing to the punishing sell-off that battered Chinese stocks earlier in the week. And in fact, Chinese stocks have sold off more than U.S. stocks if you look at it on a weekly basis.
And now the SCED. Here's what to look forward to later today. The results of presidential elections in South Africa are expected to be announced soon. Now, it's widely believed that the African National Congress, or ANC, will retain its majority, and therefore the current president, Cyril Ramaphosa, will stay in power. The key question is what he'll need to do to calm an angry public whose trust has been shaken by a series of corruption scandals. From Johannesburg, Gabriel Steinhauser has more.
Well, Ramaphosa went into this election with a firm promise to revive South Africa's economy. It's the most developed economy in Africa, but it's really been struggling these last few years. And there are a lot of problems that he has to solve pretty much immediately. One of them is the state power company. There have been really bad blackouts for a lot of this year already. And that state power company has really bad power stations that are outdated and also is effectively bankrupt. This is going to be pretty hard for him to do because as things stand right now, while the ANC is still a clear winner of this election, it's coming out of this vote with the weakest mandate it's had so far in its entire history.
And we'll get another snapshot about inflation, or the lack of it, when April's Consumer Price Index comes out later this morning. It's been a bit of a puzzle recently, because even as the U.S. economy continues to expand and wages rise, price increases have stayed relatively muted. Finally, we've got a big special this weekend looking at the graduating class of 2019, the jobs they'll be pursuing, their approach to work, and their rising anxiety. We've even suggested where they should live with a list of the best starter cities, from Baltimore to Salt Lake City to Pittsburgh. We say that these cities offer young graduates good jobs and reasonable rents. What do you think? Live in any of these places? Let us know and give us your best advice for recent grads. Tweet us at WSJ Podcasts or email us at whatsnews@wsj.com. That's What's News from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.